Ephesians chapter 2, we continue our study in the book of Ephesians. This week's message is from death to life in Christ. And we're going to cover today's scripture of chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So if you will, let me pray and we'll get right into our scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Father, thank you that I'm reminded each week that we get the time to teach your whole truth, your whole word. Father, that it is so refreshing to hear you in context continually. And so, Father, I would just ask that you would pour out on this body that you have gathered. Pour out your truth. Allow us to truly know you and see you and hear you. And, Father, change our lives because of it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. As we continue this study, I want you to think about, what does it really mean to receive salvation? What does it really mean to be saved? I mean, there are people out there in this world, there are people out there that they want to make sure that they're covered religiously. They have a Star of David around their neck. They have a Saint Christopher also. They even have the crucifix, maybe even a Buddha, or maybe even some other medallion around their neck or in their home so that they are covered religiously if they need it. They kind of take them all, just in case. I remember hearing from a missionary in China talked about how they introduced God to the people there. And they said that they couldn't just come in and introduce God. They had to be very clear that the God of the Bible was the one true God, and he was the God, capital G, over all the other gods of the world, little g. And the reason why they had to come to that understanding first was because if they just shared the God of the Bible, then those people would accept God and add him to their list of gods and continue on in their lives. So in order to really make a change, they had to understand that there was one God over all the gods. And they wanted to introduce him to them. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul shows what it means to be part of the church, what it means to be the body of Christ, what it means to be saved, what it means to be a Christian. And we saw that God's plan for salvation in chapter 1, past, present, and future. But now in chapter 2, we see how we get salvation. We saw God's plan in chapter 1, but now we see how we get salvation. So let me read verses 1 through 3. That's where we'll start. 1 through 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, first, you have to know this, number one on your outline. We are saved from sin because that is the life we lived before Christ. We are saved from sin because that is the life that we lived before Christ. Now, last week I mentioned that before the believer has life in Christ, that's going to be your key throughout the whole study of Ephesians. Before the life of a believer in Christ, we were walking dead men. Walking dead men, spiritually dead. Now, you have to know that we did not become spiritually dead. We were born spiritually dead. We didn't sin and then become spiritually dead. The wages of sin is death. We were born in this condition. We were born spiritually dead, even though we may have physical life. So every believer has spiritually, every believer was spiritually dead at one time before Christ. And those who have not come to Christ, they are today spiritually dead, even though they may have physical life on this earth. They're spiritually dead. Now, man's basic problem is that he does not have a right relationship with God. That's the biggest problem. Man doesn't have a right relationship with God because of sin. Now, that sinful condition has nothing to do with the way he lives. Okay? It has everything to do with the fact that he's spiritually dead. Now, why would we teach so much on sin at FCC? I reminded my daughter this week, you know, that I was told at one time by someone that said, you know, you don't really have to preach at us so long. We're really, really good people. That wasn't said here. But, you know, we want to believe that we're really, really good people. Okay? We don't really need these kinds of lessons. But why do we teach so much on sin? Well, we may teach a lot on sin, but the only reason we're teaching on sin is because that's what God's Word is teaching. We just continue to teach God's Word, and God's Word teaches a lot on sin. You know, we've said, you know, you've told us that we're wretched sinners. Okay, we know, we get it. But God's Word is trying to make it very clear to us what our condition was before Christ. Okay? We are going to teach the Word of God, and God's Word teaches sin. And that is what we see here in verses 1 and 2. It says, and you, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the body of Christ. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin in which you formerly walked. That's that walking dead man. According to the course of this world. Number 2 on your outline. We were not dead because of sin, because we sin. Instead, we are dead because we are in sin. Okay. There's some bullet points there, and they say this. A man does not become a murderer because he murders. He murders because he is already a murderer. Next bullet point. A man does not become a liar because he tells a lie. He lies because he is already a liar. That's the nature. And so goes every other sin. Now Matthew 12:35 on your bulletin says this. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. That's what's inside us as a walking, spiritually dead man. 3, on your outline, committing sin does not make us sinners. We sin because we are born with a sin nature. You got to start to understand that. Very important to understand. Now, there's a couple words there in the text. The first one is trespasses. Trespasses means to slip, to fall, to stumble, to go in the wrong direction. Okay? Sins. Sins means missing the mark, falling short of the goal. Now, there's a word picture that comes from this, from the original language. And the picture is of a hunter with a bow and arrow who misses his mark, misses his target, falls short. You see that arrow falling short. Here's what I picture when I hear the definition of sin. Pastor Cliff would draw for me when we'd talk. He would draw for me. And what'd he draw? He'd draw target. And then he'd draw an arrow. And the arrow would miss the target. And he goes, what is that? So he missed the target. He goes, that's sin. And he goes, but here's another sin. And he'd draw an arrow and it'd fall short of the target. What's that? I go, sin. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how close you got to the target. If you missed the goal, if you missed the target, it's sin. Now, number four on your outline, sin is missing or falling short of God's standard of holiness. That's what sin is. You fell short of God's standard of holiness. And we see that truth in Romans 3:23 on your outline. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you see that falling short there? That's sin. So you have to know that every person, it doesn't matter if they're kind, it doesn't matter if they're helpful, it doesn't matter if they seem good and they're considerate, those people need salvation just as much as a hardened criminal does. Because without Christ, man is spiritually dead. Even if he has life, even if he seems good compared to others. Why? Because his life as a spiritually dead man misses the mark. He's dead. He can't possibly hit the mark of God's standard and God's holiness. That spiritually dead person, which was all of us before salvation, verse 2, formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now the course of this world follows the leadership and design of Satan. Okay? The prince, the power of the air. Now, dead men walking have their own ideas. They have their own standard. And all of those ideas and that standard, that comes from the world. And it comes from the world's leader, Satan. Okay? So people that don't have Christ, they might think, you know what, I'm just living free. I'm living free in this world. No, you're not living free. You're serving someone. And you're serving someone who is the power of this world, the prince and the power of the airs and the ideas and the standard that's set out there in this dark world. As a believer, what standard are you going to live by? See, you're turning away from sin so that you can hit the mark. What's the mark? To bring glory to God. God's standard of holiness. Okay? But when you're spiritually dead and walking as a dead man, then you're following another standard. And that standard is Satan. And he is helped by his demons. Dead men are rebelling against God. And as the world gets darker and darker, and we see that every day. Watch the news for a little while. Share some stories from the newspaper. But as the world gets darker and darker and they get farther and farther away, so do the attacks on God's word get stronger and stronger. Okay? People start to fall away. People start to turn away. People don't understand God's word, and they don't want to understand God's word because they have their own idea, their own plan. And that comes from the power of the air. That is where the demons are. Okay? I mean, you could kind of say it's kind of like this atmosphere where the demons dwell, where there's a great spiritual battle. The spirit in that verse, that spirit is the spirit of Satan. And that spirit and those demons, the power of the air, are now working right now in the sons of disobedience, working right now in those who are spiritually dead, walking dead men. And they're all around you. Okay? That's why we prayed today for our leadership. That's why we prayed for our church. Because you're surrounded. But we know the one that's victorious. Don't lose hope. Pray. Hit that mark. Be obedient to God. Learn His Word. Understand His Word. Study His Word. Teach His Word. Read His Word. And be in communication with Him. Verse 3. Among them, we too, he's talking to the church, we too all formerly lived. Before salvation, we were dead men walking. It's trying to make that clear. And in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. The key to remember here is that though we were once as the rest, through faith in the Savior, we are not like them any longer. Amen? You've got to know that. You got to know that you're not like that any longer. But you were. But you're not. But you were. But you're not in Christ. These are the truths we have to know. You have to be able to know who you are. Somebody comes up to you and asks you, who are you? You're reading your Bible now and you're sharing Christ with me. Who are you? And do you know you have to know the truth? I was once dead. And now I'm alive in Christ. Amen? See, we don't know that anymore. Who are you? Tony, what do you mean? And I mean, we freak out. People are like asking us, why are you sharing the Bible with us? Because you need it. Why do I need it? Because we got to understand who we are. Why do you believe that? Because I know I was dead. And now I'm alive in Christ. Now I know why God teaches so much about sin. Because He knows. He knows that in this world, oh, forget sin. Forget it. Don't worry about that. Just teach the Bible. That's what we're doing. Forget about sin. But it's a picture of us. And you need to know where you came from. You need to know where you came from so that you know who you are in Christ. Verse 4. But God, that is a very important but. Because we have seen where we were. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. Number 5 on your outline, salvation is God's response to our sin and His love for us. Salvation is God's response to our sin and it shows us His love. For us, man turns away from God. Man rejects God. But God, rich in mercy and with great love for us, provides a way to turn back to Him. Now, when you have greatly offended someone, and we've all been there, but when you have greatly offended someone, only that person that was offended can restore the relationship. Okay? Only the person that was offended can restore the relationship. You know, you can offend somebody, and then you can go over here with your friends and you can say, Man, I'm really sorry. I didn't really mean that. I didn't really mean to say that to him. I didn't really mean to offend him. You can tell everybody you want. But that relationship is not going to be put back together until that person that's offended offers restoration. Okay? Now, here's what I want to know. Do you see the picture?
Because here's what you have to know. Man has greatly offended God and sinned against Him. But God, rich in mercy and with great love, offered forgiveness through Christ. See, we offended God. We missed the mark. We missed glorifying Him, greatly offending Him, the Holy One. And yet, He reaches out to us through Christ and offers to make that relationship right. It's the only way it can happen. It's the only way it can happen. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Number 6 on your outline, God's great love and compassion for those who don't deserve it makes salvation possible. God's great love and compassion for those who don't deserve it. Who's that? Us. Makes salvation possible. We see that in verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Now, Paul reminds us that God made us alive together with Christ. A spiritually dead person needs life. And that's what salvation is, spiritual life. Now, being made alive in Christ allows us for the first time in our physical lives, allows us for the first time to understand spiritual things. When we become spiritually alive in Christ, we begin to understand spiritual things. We begin to even seek godly things. And that's a picture there for us. You know, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you don't know Him. You really don't know that much about Him. You just know the truth of what people have been telling you. And then you got to get to know Him. Where are you going to get to know Him? In His Word. From Genesis to Revelation is the truth of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is the truth of Jesus Christ. He's just not named yet. Little puzzle pieces all the way through it. But then in the New Testament, we have a name. It's Jesus Christ. We need to get to know Him. And when we become spiritually alive, that's when our desire for those things starts. Being alive in Christ and walking in new life allows us to please God. I mean, even in this flesh, we are going to fall short of pleasing God. But because Christ is new in us, we seek to please God. Never before was a dead man trying to please God. Now it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. You, new in life, new in Christ, covered in this flesh. Spiritual battle. All the time. So God made us alive together with Christ. And then verse 6 and 7. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We see one of the purposes of salvation in these verses. Okay? That the church, that the body of Christ would be raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places. That's one of the purposes of salvation. New life in Christ brings new citizenship. And that new citizenship is in His kingdom. That is why in Christ, we are seated with Him in the heavenly places. Do you understand why you're seated with Him? Because you're new. You're a new citizen. And you belong to a new place if you're a new citizen. And it ain't here. It's with Christ. In the heavenly places. Now remember, the Greeks, I said this before in one of our messages. The Greeks spoke
as if something had already happened, if it was certain to happen, if there was no possible way that it could ever fail. So Paul says that the church, the body of Christ, has been raised up and seated with him. Done. Done. Because in Christ, it's going to happen. There's no way that it can fail. In Christ. We also see what I would say is probably the greater purpose of salvation in verse 7. It says, so that in the age to come, he, God, might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us. And all of this is done in Christ Jesus. While we who believe in Christ benefit greatly from salvation, that was not God's greatest purpose for salvation. But rather, in his actions towards us, well, his rich grace, his great kindness can be seen. Amen? It's all a picture of God, and we see that. We see that in Revelation 7, verses 10 through 12, on your outline. It says this, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. All of heaven will glorify God because what he has done for us. Troy, you asked a very important question of me yesterday when we met. Troy asked, can the angels be saved? Is there salvation for the angels? You know, one third of the angels fell, right? Do you know why the angels all glorify God in heaven and worship him and will exalt him and in heaven because of what he's done for us? Salvation isn't for the angels. Salvation's for us, created in his image. The one third of the angels that fell away, guess what? There is no salvation for them. Done. Done. But in man, the angels get to see redemption. They get to see salvation. And for that, they glorify God. This is an amazing thing they see because they don't see it in themselves. It's not for them. It's for man that was created in his image. I hope you get a better understanding of why we must understand our sinful lives. It's because in our salvation, we can see God's rich grace. In our salvation, we can see God's kindness. In our salvation, we can give him glory. In our salvation, we can see what he has done in us in Christ. See, in our flesh, we want it our way. You know? In our flesh, we say, enough already. We're sinners. We've heard that already. But let me remind you, it's not about you. It is all about him. And now I hope you see that truth a little bit better. It's all about him. It's nothing about us. Verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, I want everybody to do an exercise here. I want you to take a deep breath. Just take one deep breath. Ready? Let it out. Now, imagine that breath. Or imagine breathing, for that matter, as being supplied by God as a gift. That breath is a gift
from God. Now, here's what I want you to see. Who needs the gift of a breath? Who needs to breathe? The person that is dead. And I'm talking about spiritually dead in this context. The person that is spiritually dead needs to breathe. And I want you to know something, that if you come across a person that's not breathing, we have firemen here and EMT here. If you come across a person that is not breathing, there is nothing that that person can do for themselves in order to get a breath. Nothing. Somebody is going to have to assist them. Somebody is going to have to help them breathe, because they cannot start breathing on their own. 7. Faith is breathing the breath that God's grace provides. Faith is breathing the breath that God's grace provides. And these verses show us that the breath that gives us new life in Christ, faith, that breath is a gift from God. Even our response to salvation, which is faith, is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God. Before salvation, you were spiritually dead. That means you had no capability to respond. A dead person does not respond. You had no capability of responding. Even though you had physical life, you had no capability of responding. We can't do anything on our part. We're dead. So, we can't boast because we didn't do it. Okay? We didn't do it. He did it. And He did it for His glory. He gave us the breath of faith for His own glory. 8. When we accept Christ, we act by faith, supplied by God's grace. Some people say faith is hard. Some people say it's very, very hard to live by faith. That's probably one of the things that they go, you know, I'm trying Christianity, but this faith thing is really hard. But it's not hard. We live by faith every single day. You drink a soda, and by faith you break open that seal and you take a drink. You don't know what's in there. You have no idea what's in there. You don't even know what it says on the side. You don't know half of that stuff that's in there. But by faith, you're like, this is going to be good. This is going to be refreshing. Or if you take some medicine, it doesn't matter if it has a childproof cap on it. It doesn't matter if there's cotton stuck in it. When you take medicine, maybe for a sinus headache, everybody gets those here. By faith, you know that that medicine's going to help you. But how do you know that it's not poison? How do you know it's not poison like Mr. Gower gave to George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life? You don't know. But by faith, you take that medicine. Well, when you drive here, you might get on the freeway. And when you round that corner on that freeway on-ramp, by faith, you assume that everybody's going to be going in the same direction you are, not against you. We live by faith. Every person lives by faith every day. The faith needed to follow Christ is a gift from God. It is there and it is available to you just as a gift is available to you. But this is a me world, and we know that. But listen to me, wait for me, do it for me. And God reveals His rich grace and kindness, not for you, but for Himself. And we see the picture of that and of salvation in the book of Genesis, there in Genesis 22,
7 through 8. It says, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. See, in salvation, God is providing for himself. We benefit, but it is for his glory. Amen? See, that's what we got to get to. We got to understand that we're here to glorify God. Amen? Human effort, works, has nothing to do with our salvation. Nothing. However, good works are very important. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now remember, it's not about me, it's all about him, and we need to be about kingdom work. That's works. That's good works, kingdom work. Number 9, good works don't provide salvation, but rather good works come from salvation. They're a byproduct. They come from our lives. They come from a life new in Christ. That kingdom work, good works, comes from that. It can come from that. Why? Because you're alive. Can good works come from a dead person? No, he can't respond. He can't hit the target. He's dead. John 15:8. According to John, how is God glorified? John 15:8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, good works, and so prove to be my disciples. Before we can do any kingdom work, before we can do good works, God has to do his good work in us. And that is exactly what you see in verse 10. God's good work, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The same energy, that same power that created us in Christ Jesus is the same power that allows us to do good works. Every believer is equipped for every good work. Every believer should be passionate and eager about doing good works, kingdom work. Now, Paul is writing to believers. Paul is writing to the church. Paul is writing to the body of Christ. He is not sharing with them how to be saved, but rather how they were saved. Do you see that? He's not sharing with them how to be saved, but rather how they were saved. He wants them to know. He wants them to understand that the power that saved them is the same power that will keep them. The greatest proof of God's divine power in a Christian's life is the good works that comes from his life, that kingdom work. The good works that you do, the kingdom work that you do, in verse 10, God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. His kingdom work is there for the obedient believer to accomplish and thereby bring glory to God. Amen? We study God's word. And we study God's word this way so that as believers, we begin to really know the voice of our shepherd. To know his voice, you have to listen. To know his voice, you have to hear it. Salvation does not come by knowing about Christ.
but rather by knowing Christ intimately, by having a personal relationship with Him. Do you see Paul's great message to the church? That message is to us. Do you have an intimate relationship with Him? Are you growing so much that you know who you are? You know who you've been, and you know who you are in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is such a joy, so uplifting. Father, we live our lives in this flesh. And there's this spiritual battle constantly. And we rely on ourselves and we rely on what we know. And we often don't know You. So, Father, thank You for Your Word. And thank You for the opportunity to know not only who we are, but now who we are in You. Oh, what great peace. Father, we prayed for protection. Father, may You protect us. May we just stand in You. Because the arrows are coming, but they fall short because of Your protection. Father, may you guide us. May You grow us through tests. But may we always know who we are in Christ. May we always know where we came from. And may we always give glory to God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.